Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Randy Kaplan, co-founder and CEO of Silicon Creations and a lifelong technology enthusiast. For almost two decades, he has helped grow Silicon Creations into a leading mixed-signal semiconductor IP company with nearly 500 customers spanning almost every major market segment. Welcome to the podcast, Randy.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
First, I always ask, you know, how did you originally get started in semiconductors? Do you have an interesting story to share?
Yeah, sure. I think it goes all the way back to when I was quite young. As a child, even remember getting our first wireless TV remote, and then like immediately proceeding to break it apart to try to figure out how it worked. You can imagine my parents weren't so happy with me at the time. One time, attempting in vain to short circuit the scramblers on my cable box with a paperclip, so I could watch more TV shows. Basically, as long as I can remember, I just always had a deep fascination with the electronics. So later, when it came time to go to college, I remember telling my high school guidance counselor that I wanted to be a businessman. And his reply, of course, was kind of to laugh at me and tell me I needed to learn a real skill. I'm saying that with air quotes. Knowing me pretty well, he suggested electrical engineering. And anyway, I ended up studying electrical engineering at Georgia Tech. That's where I actually met the person who later became the co-founder of Silicon Creations with me. This was during the big dot-com bubble of the mid to late 90s. And I remember hearing about like people I knew just a few years ahead of me going out to Silicon Valley and working on some really innovative and exciting projects. So when the time came and I finally graduated, it was a pretty clear choice that's where I wanted to go. I ended up getting a circuit design job with the high-speed networking group at Agilent. They had just spun out of HP at the time. So that's where I learned a lot of the technical skills, designing the high-speed data interfaces, the SerDes, and the clocking circuits, the PLLs, that ended up being kind of foundational when we started Silicon Creations, I guess still relevant even today. I also think seeing the tail end of the HP way, I got an appreciation for the importance of company culture that ended up also being a significant influence as well in how Silicon Creations evolved.
Yeah, I've known Silicon Creations. I've known you guys for probably 10 or more years, and I have a friend that works there. And, you know, Silicon Creations has expanded from two people in 2010 to nearly 150 people in 2024 using an organic growth model with no outside funding or other investments. It's very unique. You know, can you talk a little bit more about that, the what, whys, hows of your business strategy?
Yeah. Like you said, Silicon Creations was originally just a two-person design service company. So we were basically doing design for hire. A customer would bring us some difficult circuit spec, and we'd help them figure out how to implement it. Actually, not all that different than today, I guess, but much less reuse. Back in those first few years, we occasionally hired part-time contractors and some university interns, but we never really planned to scale it. But by some good fortune, several of them ended up still with us today and had a pretty huge impact on the growth and success of the company. One was from Poland, and after he graduated university, he ended up staying there and founding our design center in Krakow, which he's still leading today and has helped grow it to over 100 people now. Another local intern from Georgia Tech, he was getting his PhD in power amplifiers, so like a completely different area of electronics from what we do at Silicon Creations. But when he graduated, I remember he wrote us this really convincing letter explaining all the ways he could help us grow the company, much of which we hadn't thought about before, we were a little skeptical about, but it was intriguing. We ended up hiring him, and he's now our director of hardware engineering. A third one, he was getting his MBA part-time working for us. And he asked us if he could use Silicon Creations as a case study for his business class. So for that, he wrote this multi-year business plan, talking about the idea of this slow organic exponential growth funded through cash flow. And back then, we were pretty amused, maybe a little bit skeptical about this idea at the time. Certainly, exponential growth sounded highly optimistic. Although a few years later, when we look back on it, it turned out he was conservative in his estimates. Back in those days, we used to have the joke when people asked us for our business plan, we would just say it's to stay in business another year. But maybe he planted a seed in our minds, or maybe he saw something that was already there and we hadn't fully articulated yet. But regardless, that model turned out to work really well for us. We tried to always be prepared when good opportunities came along, and we never artificially forced our growth. So today we have almost 100% employee retention, great customer retention as well. Like three quarters of the deals we closed in the past year were from repeat customers. Since we're still self-funded, we have no outside pressure to accelerate growth or to compromise long-term in order to meet short-term objectives. So I don't know if this will work for every company out there. I think, you know, many companies have critical time to market concerns or other reasons to scale aggressively. But for us, like this slow, steady organic growth model results in kind of a really robust environment for attracting and retaining great people on our team. And that, of course, plays a huge role in the customer experience and in the quality of our products.
You guys are very high regarded in the ecosystem, so whatever you're doing is working for sure. So what market segments are you focused on? Where do you see future growth?
Yeah, we sell high-speed data interfaces, SerDes, and clocking circuits, or PLLs is what we call them. So these are circuits that go on like every modern SoC. So actually, it turns out like our sales are a pretty good proxy for the overall chip market in general. So a lot of people will kind of look at our current sales and you can extrapolate to where the market's going to be in 2-3 years ahead. So we are in like probably every major segment of the industry, but of course, right now, like AI is the big thing. You've got Sam Altman predicting $7 trillion in investments going to be needed. We've got the kind of the 3D IC market is expanding now to extend Moore's Law even further. So basically, almost every week, it seems we're closing a new AI customer deal. So that's probably the biggest and most exciting at the moment. But also we're seeing a big uptick in like augmented reality. So these are like overlaying virtual images with the real background. You've got some like partnerships like Meta and Ray-Ban are coming out with some pretty fashionable glasses you can wear with pretty cool applications, like a virtual laptop. You can sit there in the coffee shop with your glasses on and have a full screen monitor apparently in front of you. So really fun stuff. And they're predicting like 40% compound growth for the next 10 years in augmented reality. So we have a low power SerDes that is really optimal for these types of display applications. And then I think the last one really is autonomous driving. So an electric car typically has like 2,000 to 3,000 chips in it. So we've got real kind of level 4 autonomous driving cars coming on the market now. Level 5's still being talked about, but it's almost a certainty this is going to happen. And Silicon Creations does a lot of automotive safety documentation and processes for providing interfaces and circuitry for these automotive applications. So I think those are the really big ones that we're seeing in from 2023-2024.
What about chiplets? How do you see that coming? Are chiplets coming to us soon?
Oh yeah, I mean, no doubt. TSMC just started their 3D fabric ecosystem. Silicon Creations was an inaugural member of that. Intel's really accelerating on advanced packaging. So basically, there's an ongoing debate about Moore's law and whether that's going to continue. But I think there's no debate that there's a kind of unlimited demand for more bandwidth, faster processing, and expanded capabilities, especially driven by these applications like AI and autonomous driving. So, yeah, essentially, it's happening now. You can see the ecosystems forming. We have a lot of customers asking us. Actually, Silicon Creations is providing PLLs for almost all the die-to-die chip interfaces. So we're already seeing it being built out today.
That's good to hear. So I see Silicon Creations at all the Foundry events. In fact, the TSMC event is coming up, so I'll see you in a couple of weeks. You guys are in just about every Foundry process node from 180 nanometer down to 2 nanometer. What are the pros and cons of the different processes, and what challenges can people expect when moving to the more advanced nodes?
Yeah, I actually just counted. It looks like we've done designs in about 85 different nodes. So that means like every major foundry, right? TSMC, Samsung, Global, Intel, UMC, and SMIC, and then a handful of other smaller ones, and yeah, every geometry, like you said, from 180 down to 22 in planar, and then 16 down to 3 nanometer in FinFET, and now we're just now starting these 2 nanometer kind of nanowire nanosheet designs. So yeah, like we sell a lot of PLLs. So we have one product, our fractional PLL, that's been almost the same in every process node across those 85. So we actually have a scale size printout on our wall of the fractional PLL from 180 nanometer down to 3 nanometer. So you can walk down the hallway and see the PLL shrinking over time. So yeah, like architecture wise, a lot has stayed the same. In terms of the implementation details, it's gotten substantially more complicated to design in the advanced nodes, that the device counts are much higher, that the second order effects are now from planar are now first order effects. Simulation times have gone way up in advanced nodes due to all the parasitics and high device counts. So like for example, we have like a 4,000 CPU simulation farm with 3,000 SPICE licenses built with these AMD EPYC optimized overclock processors for extreme computing. So it's not so straightforward anymore to be able to just design and simulate in the most advanced nodes just due to the complexity of the process. But the core principles have kind of remained the same. And then across the different foundries, I think TSMC has kind of been the default leading foundry for many years now, but they were about 90% of our sales up through 2022. But in the past year, we've actually seen a significant increase from Samsung, Intel, and Global Foundries. And 2023, TSMC was down to about 80% of our sales, with the other guys being about 5% each. So I think we're seeing kind of a trend towards kind of more credible alternatives, and that the other leading foundries are really becoming mainstream.
Well, that's good to hear. So how do customers normally engage with Silicon Creations, Randy?
We kind of have a unique engagement model. So our circuit designers actually interact directly with the customers. We don't have this model where they send something to the sales guy who sends it to an AE who sends it to a designer who then replies in a month. So basically, you send an email to sales@siliconcr.com, or you can go to our website and just fill out the contact form, and that gets kind of put into our system. And then kind of right away, we'll get the designer with the related experience in touch with the customer. They can work with them to try to understand the specific requirements, propose whichever of our products, if any, might be relevant for them. And if customization is needed, they can work together to come up with a suitable solution. So this works really well. It creates a lot of efficiency for the customer. It helps them to get kind of exactly what they need in the shortest time possible without waiting long times for response or getting something that's non-optimal for their system. It also gives our designers kind of a like skin in the game, that they know the customers, they feel committed to the customer product and the customer experience. So it's a little non-traditional, but we found it works really well for us. And again, to get that started, just an email to sales at SiliconCR, we'll get you in the system and go from there. It's as simple as that.
Great conversation. Thank you, Randy. We'll see you at the next event, and maybe we can circle back for an update later this year.
Absolutely. Appreciate the opportunity, and see you soon.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.